Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Well, frankly, that's what's at stake here, and a chance for that. The nation will be watching, is my point.
No doubt.
It might not shine like it would have, whether it's a close loss or a win down there. It's still going to be very important for you.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't wreck your season if you lose, you know, because you still have the possibility to. I mean, however unlikely to, you know, I guess lose one more game in your league, and then where you stack up. I mean, these teams play each other. UNLV plays Boise State. I mean, it's unlikely that every other team runs a table in their respective leagues, other than maybe Liberty. I mean, Liberty might be a favorite to do that, because I was looking at their schedule the other day. I think they maybe go to App State. They go to App State on the 28th, and that's kind of the one. They play. Do play East Carolina. I mean, you kind of need East Carolina to stand up. On the 21st, they got App State on the road September 28th, and then it's just dog. It's just Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State, MTSU, UMass, Western Kentucky, Sam Houston. So if they get through the 28th, unless there's some kind of devastating injury to the QB, it feels like they're not losing. They're going to be double-digit favorites in all those games. But this all plays out on the field, and that's the beauty of it. And you got a chance to really put yourself in pole position with a win tomorrow if you're Memphis over Florida State in that playoff. So we'll all be watching. Should be a good one in Tallahassee on ESPN. Lewis Riddick, Bob Wischusen on the call. Big time game. We'll come back, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
And we haven't even talked much about the game and really the statement that the Bills made in winning for the 12th time in 13 games against the Miami Dolphins, I believe is the fifth straight. But back to the Tua side, because that was really the news last night. It's funny when you listen to players discuss it, like Ryan Clark, who had a history of concussions in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers, played for Mike Tomlin, and at one point had to be pulled off himself. You hear him talk about how sensitive an issue this is when it comes to saying players should retire. NFL players and pros are real sensitive when it comes to saying another guy that it's your time to go.
Yep.
They want to be real careful about doing that publicly. And even with that being the sort of general consensus on how you do things, you saw last night some former pros, Dez Bryant, he tweeted, "That's it. NFL, go ahead and do the right thing. Tua's had entirely way too many concussions. He needs to retire for his longevity, health concerns." And then you had Shannon Sharp, who's been in the news for a lot of reasons of late, but he tweeted last night, "Really hope Tua is okay. Here's the key, but he's got to seriously think about shutting it down. He stopped short of doing what I'm saying a lot of NFL players don't like to do.
Right.
But as he said, I hate saying this. His concussions are getting worse and worse, and he's a young man with his entire life ahead of him. Again, this was something that, you know, even the Bills last night after the game, some of the interviews, they talked about how surreal it was, a situation it was, particularly a team that's coming off, you know, what, a year removed from a DeMar Hamlin situation where you literally had a guy, had to revive him on the field. What was so doubly ironic about this situation was that's who Tua had run into, was DeMar Hamlin making this tackle. Now, obviously, two different things here. You're talking about, you know, a cardiac incident with DeMar,
right,
and brain injury for Tua, but it does show you, I mean, we take for granted clearly with the way we talk about these games, and more importantly, we just expect guys to make it through. We expect them to be there for the next one. This is a game that only gladiators can play. And Tua, as big and strong as he looks physically, I just think now you're talking about the fourth concussion in 5 years, the third since he's been in the NFL. So this goes back to Alabama. And what the NFL players, not as many of them as I heard from yesterday, but not pointing out, but I did their first hour. I just think, you know, NFL, we hear it a lot. Even heard a little bit of from Dan Williams last week, the former pro and Memphian, who we had on last week, friend of John's. You know, that desire to support your family, that desire, because you've been sort of built for this.
Yep.
You've been crowned for years as the guy that's, in a lot of instances, going to take your family out of poverty or whatever else. Maybe it's not even poverty, but a new level, something your family had, you know, maybe never dreamed of realizing when it comes to the kind of money you can make, and certainly for quarterbacks. Well, with Tua, I just think particularly in this case, last year was about this, was about showing he could stay healthy so he could get the extension from the Dolphins and get off that rookie deal. He got it. And I just hope that if he does decide to continue, it's not out of some duty, some feeling that he, you know, and I would tell him it's a false one here.
Yeah.
That he feels towards his family in terms of being that backbone financially, because I tell you, there's a way out here financially with you having gotten signed the extension that you did and keeping your mind, hopefully, or at least what, you know, the majority of it, or at least not doing any further damage to it, should you make this decision. And listen, the Dolphins have got a real decision to make. I mean, we're saying this is Tua's decision, and ultimately it will be, but the Dolphins have to decide if this is the best thing. Running this guy out there with the history that you've got, knowing that you've already run him back out there too soon in one situation,
yep,
are you guys okay with this as an organization? Saying, no, we're good with it so long as the doctor clears him, because sure, while we know the doctor may clear him in a couple of weeks to get back on the field, we're talking about, you know, the rest of his life after football.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, hey, is this going to be a year-to-year thing? And that's what the doctors can't tell you.
Right.
And so, you know, I respect the NFL players that want to sort of, you know, walk this sensitive line of telling a guy when he should step down. But I would tell you this is a no-brainer, especially now that he's made the money.
Yep.
Brother, step away. Most NFL players don't win a Super Bowl. No shame in that.
Absolutely.
And a great deal of accomplishment. Again, the fact that you've been an all-pro, right?
Yeah.
Was he not? I mean, and now you've earned the money. And so, I mean, he led the league in passing last year.
Yep.
You've done a lot.
Yep.
You got the money that came with it. Consider your health and everything after football, because I would tell you, that's where you're going to be defined.
No doubt.
That's the same thing I said to Dan last week and to Malco.
Yeah.
You, that definition is to be found after your football career. It is very rare when we define men by their football career as the only thing.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, it's more than that.
Yep, yep. Sometimes we, Ray Lewis.
It's what you do afterwards.
Ray Lewis, we kind of do define him as a player. We don't talk about the other stuff, you know. It just depends on the mood we're in, right?
I mean, you'd be surprised. Like, Ray Lewis, now it's funny. He's looked at as an inspiration and a guy of faith that pours into people. Probably almost like a motivational speaker, not just doing it for,
yep,
you know, Ravens reunions or anything else. But
yep,
folks almost look to him like a man of faith, a man that maybe was given a second chance, perhaps,
right,
because, yeah, you know, you should have been buried in that situation. But a lot of folks look to Ray now, man, as a, you know, they do talk about more than just the football player. They talk about the pouring in that he does for folks.
Yeah.
If you look around, he does a ton of it.
I was looking at forced retirements,
mm-hmm,
right? Because that's
what that means.
There have been a few, and you would know one because one of them played for you. Kyle Fitz, you remember him? I don't think he ever saw the field or anything, but
not particularly.
He was a defender, a linebacker who, you know, I guess it's, you know, the NFL doesn't, they don't step in and say, you know, like, you have to retire, But it's like, I think there is a point where they do step in and they say, he's got to go on the injured reserve. He can't play anymore this season. But like the names that come up when you go, when you look up forced retirements, Chris Borland for the 49ers, I vaguely remember his name. He had a ton of concussions. Kyle Fitz, we talked about him. Remember Jordan Reed, the tight end, the big mm-hmm. tight end? He played for the Redskins back in the day. Mm-hmm. Now the Commanders, obviously. But he was released by Washington. And then he signed a one-year deal with the 49ers, but announced his retirement because of long-term health. He was 30 years old. Ali Marpet, he's recent. He was at lineman for the Bucks. He was like 27 or something like that. He suffered a concussion in 2020, and he was 29, and he retired. He said he didn't want to risk any further concussions, and he said it's just not worth it. And then I don't know if this is a forced retirement. It feels like he played for a long time. I could be wrong, but Keekly they have on here. But didn't he play for like 10 years?
I don't know if it was that long.
Yeah, they have him on here as a forced retirement. So he had worn a cue collar device in game since 2016. Oh, he was 28. Damn.
Yeah, young dude.
He retired at 28. So, yeah, look, I think the common denominator with all these quote-unquote forced retirements when you look them up is concussions. I mean, that's what it is. And I would just say that, you know, all these guys suffered multiple concussions. All these guys hung it up. And I think Tua would be, you know, I don't want him to do it. I don't, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, it's time, you know. But it's like all these guys suffered from the same things. They all came to the same conclusion. And the other thing about the Guardian caps I was looking up, I don't know if there's been new studies on this. I don't know if there's been new research. Obviously, there's something. But an NIH study in 2017 found that they did not make any necessarily material difference in terms of impact of hit. Like, they could not determine or conclude that it did help. Obviously, it can't hurt, but it wasn't like some groundbreaking study, right, where it's like, oh, man. Because obviously, Jason, if it was, everybody would probably be wearing them. If it was like, for sure, this, 20, 30, 40%. Because mm-hmm. that was my thought. Like, why didn't anybody go to Tua before the season started and say, hey, we got these. We can cover them up. It won't look bad. It won't feel any different. They don't weigh much. Like, wouldn't we do this? And maybe the reason why they didn't do it is because they don't necessarily believe that it helps. It might, but it might not. So, I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, for a quarterback, Andrew Luck retired early, same reason. He had concussions. He took big hits. We were all stunned when he announced in the preseason.
But was he medically forced?
No, he was not. He was not. He was just like, you know, I know what...
And what did... Do we remember what the Colts did with his money? Because if you're medically cleared to return to football, but you opt to retire, as is the case apparently in this, as could be the case in this Tua situation, you forego
yes.
the remaining amount.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that him and the Colts came to some sort of deal where they just gave it all to him.
$58 million.
Wow.
There you go. That's what's next. If we get to this point, to John's point about all these medically forced, if Tua is medically forced, if they decide for him that you're going into retirement, he collects the rest of the 124 he's got left.
Mm-hmm.
If a doctor clears him, if he's medically cleared to return to football, but he decides on his own, you know what, this is not worth it, and it should be said, I don't think we have, he considered it in 2022. Said briefly, but he considered mm-hmm. it with his family. If that's the case and he decides, then you forego the money.
Right.
Barring a settlement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see because, again, you would say...
Yep.
If I've made the decision to retire, I almost want the NFL to decide I need to medically go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do want that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want the NFL to declare me. They want to force me into retirement because then I get all my money. I get all of the 124 I've got left on my deal.
Yes.
He's got 167 guaranteed. He's already got 43.
Yep.
So there's 124 left. If he decides on his own, but the NFL doctors clear him and say you can come back, if he decides on his own to retire... He loses all of that.
He loses all
of that.
Yeah, it's hard to walk away from that, bro. I mean, you know, on a human level, it's like, how you going to ask a man to walk away from $167 million?
Well, he's got 43, so it's 124.
All right, yeah.
He's already been paid the 43 of the 167.
Still, it's like, I mean, all I got to do is basically, be on a roster? I mean, I don't know. It's tough, man. I don't envy the decision makers in that situation. Because,
again,
I mean, I put myself in that situation with fans, you know what I'm saying? Like, the money is such a big, it's not about the love of the game. How much has Tua made in his career?
the rookie deal, and now 167 guaranteed. You know, he's got 167 guaranteed. He's made 43 plus what's on the rookie.
But he
43 of the 167, and then whatever he made in his rookie deal.
Let's say $20 million.
Yeah.
So, but he would not get the remainder unless he was forced.
Medically forced.
Right.
Which
so then,
you could be with three concussions since
you
your NFL four in the last 5 years.
You would, and then they maybe come to a settlement, right? They give me half or something?
No, if he's medically forced, he gets all of it. He has a right to declare all of it. If the NFL rules, he should not be playing.
So,
and that's what I'm saying. If I decide, me and my family decide, I'm going to retire, this is not right for me, that's when I want the doctors to say, I need to retire. Take it out of my hands.
Well,
because that's when I get all my money.
The question I would have is, which doctor makes that determination? Is it NFL appointed? Is it Dolphins appointed? Is it Tua appointed? Because you could see a world where if it's Dolphins appointed, they would be incentivized to say he can return to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Like, or if it's Tua appointed.
Well, they have to be careful with that as it is, because then the doctor that got into trouble 2 years ago with putting him back out there and then ended up firing.
That's
right.
True. Yeah.
So we're talking about an NFL doctor that's got to be separate from the team and their interests and everything else.
Yeah, I think it has
because
to
I would think the team would want settlement. You wouldn't want to pay the
correct
whole deal if you're, you know, just from a financial standpoint, you love him to death.
Exactly.
But if he makes the decision to retire on his own, but is cleared by doctors, you would want to settle with him.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to pay him the whole
I mean, put yourself in Jeffrey Ross's shoes, right?
Apparently the Colts didn't just pay.
They did not.
Luck the rest of it and decide.
Now, they did not ask for money back. They could have asked for bonus money back. They did not do that. I mean, that would have been just really miserly of them to do that. But
you said he left 58 on the table, or they gave him 58?
No, he left 58 or was remaining.
Yeah.
Right, and then of course an extension that he would have been eligible for the year after that, which people think would have eclipsed $500 million. So he really left $500 million because he was what, 27? I mean, that dude was young, and he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at that time.
Oh, it hurt him. You saw how emotional it was. He knew he needed to for his health's sake.
Yes. But, I mean, look, he seems to be happy. I've seen him at, like, some Stanford games. Like, he don't really seem to be that bent up out of shape about it now, you know? So, I mean, maybe there is some peace to it that, you know, you're not going to be walking around like a bowl of applesauce, you know, when you're 65 years old. I mean, that's definitely something that you have to consider. Look, I believe in technology, and I believe that in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we will make advancements with helmets, with things like, and where it will be safer, right? But we're not quite there yet. And
I don't think you're going to save all of them, bro, though.
Right.
There's always going to be cases like, you know, guys that just are prone to them.
Yep.
And he appears to be.
Yep. That's it. I mean,
You got the big helmets on or not, you're, you know, this is still.
No, I agree. It's too late. It feels like for Tua. And I wonder, are concussions those, is it like a deal where you have one and then you're more likely to have another? I don't know how that works. I don't know what the susceptibility is. My guess is it is like, you know, likelier. If you have one, you're likely to have another in this sport, you know, because, I mean, that hit was not really even that bad of a hit.
And he did the defensive position with the hands.
So. I mean, you see hits where guys get their heads taken off. You're like, that's a concussion. That's not how you felt watching that last night.
According to the Boston Medical Hospital here, and this is from a quick Google, people who have already sustained a concussion are at greater risk for subsequent concussions. So you're on.
Okay,
it
so yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's the way it goes.
It is what it is now with Tua.
Worse off.
It is what it is. And it's unfortunate because you don't control that. I don't know, you know, what makes one more likely to get a concussion versus not. I have no clue. Because Tua is not a running QB. You know, it's not like he's this dual threat. You know, he's a pocket guy all the way. So I don't know really, you know, I mean, Josh Allen hasn't had a history of concussions. Lamar hasn't really had a concussion, so it's like, what is it? You know, we'll never know. We don't know. But at any rate, that organization and Tua and his family are going to have big decisions to make.
Well, they got bigger decisions than him because I thought the Bills showed last night too, and I tweeted as much to a Bills fan that, you know, gave it to me this morning, rightfully so. For 2 years here, I've tried to. You know, pull the Bills off the pedestal.
Yep.
I've been too early on this.
Yep.
And last night, man, and part of it's Cook. There's no question about it. They got a run game. But like I said, they're out there playing football, whereas to what you just said, Mike McDaniel and Tua, it feels like it's all scheme. Herbstreit had talked about Miami's taking a pride up front and trying to be physical. Dude, they couldn't run the ball last night, and it was this depleted Buffalo team that guys like me have tried to write off for the last 2 years that was just pushing it down Miami's throat, just playing football. again, just out-footballing Mr. IQ, Mr. Schemes, Mr. McDaniel, or Tua, who, like you said, he's just trying to get that thing out of there, man.
Yep.
And they barely could get the ball to Tyreek early. And it almost looked like they were outsmarting themselves. A lot of times you just want to see, you know, can you guys line it up? And it looked like when they tried to do that, they weren't able.
Right.
And maybe that line that Herbstreit had talked about takes a pride in being physical. Not physical enough.
Yep.
Against a Buffalo defense that you thought it should be more physical than it was again. So
yeah.
I just thought, you know, Miami in terms of they looked finesse last night.
Yes,
and
they
if
did.
You're now you're taking Tua out of the equation, both for the immediate and maybe for the long term,
yeah.
You gotta rethink sort of what you're doing.
Yep.
Like if you know, this Buffalo team, all they've done, we've taken weapons from them left and right, and they're still playing basic football and running us and winning the AFC East four straight times.
I mean, it is
like,
amazing.
So maybe this new high IQ air attack. Maybe this ain't what's going to get us over the hump.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not to let the defense off the hook. They didn't play well either. They could not stop the run. Cook had three touchdowns yesterday. All of a sudden looking like one of the best backs in the NFL.
Yep. No, I think that is, the injury definitely took away from that discussion, which is,
Dude, that was at home.
Yep.
They've won four straight on you going in.
Yep.
11 of 12. It's time to get the monkey off your back, and that's what we get?
Terrible effort.
Terrible.
An egg.
And you're supposed to be more physical now? I can't tell.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, back to shame on me for trying to write off Buffalo the last 2 years.
I mean, I was with you. I'm on the Dolphins.
Dude, it wasn't just you. Like I said, everybody on that panel last night other than Ryan Fitzpatrick had the Dolphins. We have just bought into Mike McDaniel in this, you know, Shanahan style that's going to work just across the league. They're not physical enough.
Right.
And that's what Buffalo's reminding them every time they freaking play them.
That's right. I mean, look, it's the run game, and it's also the presence of a guy that's very much making his early case for MVP, Josh Allen.
And he made the plays when he had to last night. He didn't need to throw for a ton of yards.
Yeah.
But when there were air yards to get, he got them.
I mean, he's, you know.
Early.
We haven't really seen him have to go
last week.
But
last week he had to
kind
of two Superman,
yeah,
two rushing, two throwing.
Yeah, so I mean, look, he's definitely the front runner, and maybe the Bills are better somehow. I can't tell you how.
I'm gonna stop predicting their demise. I know that, and let it play out. That's been bad business for me.
Well, because everybody else in that division looks like a mess.
Yeah, Jets defense does. I have faith in Aaron, but their defense doesn't look good.
We'll see.
They're talking about us, maybe making a move for Hassan Reddick.
Well, somebody's going. I mean, but isn't that why the Eagles traded the dude? Because they're like, okay, he'll get paid with the Jets, and then the Jets didn't pay.
I think we're willing, perhaps, to give him what he wants as opposed to whatever it is for the Jets, another year or a couple more million. There's something they don't want to do.
Well, they missed him.
I mean, they had to be. They knew they were going to have to sign him to a contract.
Yeah, that's what's very strange to me.
They don't want to do.
Yeah,
and my guess is the Bears are willing.
Yeah, I can't. But I mean, look, I thought
it'd be done after. You know,
why would you do the transaction
like Chris
if
Jones
you didn't intend paying
year.
Him? Right. I don't know.
Especially if you didn't have much of a pass rush.
Well, I mean, you guys have a history with it, right? You tried to get Judon.
But we didn't like the deal.
He
wouldn't agree to our terms. So we backed up.
I mean, is Reddick better than Judon?
From an age standpoint, he is.
Okay.
Judon was like 32, 33,
right.
I want to say.
So a little younger. Okay.
But from a money standpoint, it's going to cost you a lot more.
I don't know what you guys' pass rush looked like last week.
Looked great, Daryl. I told you, Daryl Taylor had two sacks. The guy we traded from Seattle right before the season started.
Yeah, all right.
But I don't think it's not good enough.
Can always be better. Yeah.
Oh, you go at him, Hassan.
And Sweat.
You might have one of the best defenses in the league for real.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Right? Why not go all in if you've got the money? So, it was a bad night for the Dolphins organization. No doubt about it. There was just nothing good that came out of that. They're reeling as a team. And now you're moving forward with Skylar Thompson at quarterback. Their season is basically over before it even got off the ground. So that's a tough one if you're a Dolphins fan, because you're going into this one thinking like this is our year. You know, I mean, everything's kind of lining up. Bills conceivably worse. Jets with no clue. Patriots are trying to lose. So this was
been waiting on this for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the moment.
Through.
And now your quarterback's probably done for the season, if not his whole career. And you got. Dominated by Buffalo at home.
They just paid him.
Yeah, tough deal, man. Tough deal. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, Artie Turner, FM, ESPN. It's not a great...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Slate for college football this week. I mean, I think we have a couple of ranked matchups, maybe at least one, Boston College, Missouri. I don't know if that's getting you in front of the TV there. It's not a great slate for college football. LSU, South Carolina, don't care. Georgia, Kentucky, don't care. Georgia should run them roughshod. But we do have a pretty solid NFL slate, and one that I'm pretty involved in, and I'm probably going to get more involved in, which kind of scares me, Jason, to be honest, because it's hard to win in the NFL, as we've talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I will say, 4-1 on sides.
Congrats.
4-1 on sides. That's a good start. I don't know what that, what's that, 80%?
Mm-hmm.
If I could just go 80% on NFL sides.
And sides are?
The point spread.
Okay.
Yeah. If I could just go 80% on point spread, then this would be fantastic. But it's 1 week, and we have quite a bit of the season left to go. So let's go through some of the games. Some of these I do have action on, and some of these I do not. But 49ers Vikings, I believe that's out to 6. This is in Minnesota. Minnesota, of course, handled the Giants on the road last weekend. It's Sam Darnold versus old team. 49ers looked brilliant against the Jets, but now go to Minnesota. I have nothing on this one. Feels right to me. What do you think?
I'm just eager to see if Sam Darnold can impress for the second straight week. A lot of people wrote Sam Darnold off, mm-hmm. thought J.J. McCarthy should be the starter. Now, obviously, that changed when J.J. McCarthy got hurt. But many said this would be the best situation, and it's probably a fact and an opinion,
yep.
that Sam Darnold's ever been in.
No doubt.
In terms of an offense. And so to see if he can go against what is an obviously a legit defense, With Warner, I mean, my gosh, like we said, they can have a new defense coordinator every year, but with Fred Warner sort of leading the way, they're going to be a great defense year after year. I'm just curious to see if Sam Darnold can, if they win this, I mean, even if they're competitive, maybe the Vikings aren't just sort of the, you know, going to bring up the tail end of the NFC North. Maybe they're going to compete for a playoff spot, because I tell you, that Vikings defense is going to be good enough.
Yep.
So it really was going to come down to Darnold's play.
Yep.
And so I'm eager to see what he does against Niners. I got no feel one way or the other. My guess would be Niners control that game and that we see, you know, some old Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think it's – if I did play anything, I'd probably say the over. I just feel like both teams are going to find some success offensively. I think Kevin O'Connell is probably one of the more – I don't even know if he's underrated at this point, but, I mean, we saw what the dude did last year with
that
revolving door of QBs.
Yep. And Flores is doing a decent job with the defense.
Yeah, so I'm expecting some points, but I don't have any feeling on the side here. Seahawks-Patriots, this will be the opposite of points. There will be no points in this game. Seahawks, I believe, 3.5. If you want to get froggy and lay that on the road against the Patriots, coming off the win against Cincinnati, also on the road. It was the most shocking result of week one. Clearly, I think what you're seeing with the Pats is that defense is playing super hard for Jerod Mayo. They're going to do just enough offensively to try to win these games. Seahawks have offensive line problems. Is Kenneth Walker out? I think he might be out in this one. I know that the right tackle is out, so they have a lot of offensive line injuries. This would be under and never watch a minute for me. I don't know if maybe you're a believer in the Seahawks. I do think defensively they will be talked about by the end of the season as one of the best units, but I just don't know if that's enough to go on the road and cover more than a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, I have very little interest in this game. I do look at the Seahawks as a team that, with the Rams, with the Bears, you're one of those teams that's competing for that last wild card spot.
Yeah.
I may have Seattle completely wrong there.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, their offense it's changing now with Kenneth.
It is. You know? It is.
They barely, and I know Surtain was on him, but they don't go to DK like they used to. You know what I'm saying? They're not looking to try to get him 12, 13 targets.
Yeah.
Some of that, again, dictated by the effort of Denver, but
yeah.
they're different. They're different now.
They are.
And so I'm curious to see if they're really in the mix for sort of that last wild card spot type stuff.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where, you know.
Patriots, for me, they should be losing.
They should be losing.
Frankly, that's a great win to start the Mayo tenure off.
Don't do
but
it again.
You need to be tanking and beating out Carolina
yep.
for the best for the best pick in the NFL draft.
Agreed. We have an NFC East tilt, Giants Commanders. Both teams got routed in their first games last week. They now meet. I do have the over 42 in this one. I mean, Daniel Jones, brother, if you can't do it against the Commanders defense, then it's just never going to happen for you. I mean, this secondary is terrible. And Jaden Daniels, we know that dude will score. He will score.
He wants to score.
Come hell or high water. Himself. He just wants to do it himself.
Right.
He doesn't want Terry McLaurin to do it. He wants to do it.
Or Brian Robinson.
Yes.
He wants to get it done.
But I think he will. I think this will be a high-scoring game with very little defense played. So
these are the games that you have action on. Gotcha.
Yes. This one is I'm kind of going through all of them, but I'll just focus on the ones I have action on now just for brevity purposes.
I was like, he's going to get the Bengals Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
But you may not have action.
Oh, I do.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Oh, I don't run from the big ones.
Well, I don't like the fact that the Bengals are talking as much trash.
Yeah. I'll go through
but go ahead. Let's get to one.
Ones I real quick
yours.
Have. Yeah. I think I'm going to lay 6 with Dallas. I think I am going to get there. Even though I have the under, I'm just not buying the Saints as the team they looked like last week. They're better than they were a year ago offensively, but this is in Dallas, in Jerry Dome, where I just feel like the Cowboys always route these kinds of games, right? It just feels like this is where the Cowboys roll. So I think I might actually get to 6 with the Cowboys here. Defense looked amazing last week against Cleveland, so I think I might lay 6. Have Jaguars -3. I don't love that nearly as much against Cleveland now because the Jaguars are down 2 starting DBs and – you know, I mean, the NFL is a week-to-week league, right? So Deshaun Watson can look like the world's worst, and then he gets a Jaguar secondary that doesn't have 2 starters. You know, maybe he finds a little bit more success. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that it feels great if you're back at the Browns.
No confidence in Deshaun and a sort of a return to form anymore.
Yes.
And now this week you've seen that this latest allegation against him is apparently going to include a video, which perhaps adds a new dynamic to it.
Why would you want to play hard for that dude, right?
Oh, boy.
Like, if you're on the Browns, like, why would I want to run, like, a super hard route for Deshaun Watson?
Saying Deshaun got all kind of stuff. And, you know, he's still got apparently two open civil cases from Latt. Like, he settled most of them. Like,
yeah.
It's like 23 out of 25. Still got two open ones. And then this new one that's apparently got a video. So, dude's got a lot still on the brain. A lot more than just, I get back to the old me on the football field?
And
that's why I'm just kind of done hoping hoped at one point. Yeah, I thought Deshaun Watson could get his life turned around because at one point we thought he was a good guy. Remember, what was he giving his salary to the
COVID,
workers in Houston? And we were holding him up and giving him respect burgers, but I have no faith he's going to return to football, Deshaun Watson, either.
Yes.
So that doesn't seem to be happening.
But I'm on it, so, I got to live with it, and that's the way it goes.
Okay.
Let's see, what else do I have? I have...
Nothing on your own, Raiders-Ravens?
No. I'll be looking to fade the Raiders live in game there by some accident, get out to a lead.
Zay Flowers game, you said, for me on that.
I think so, dude. Right. Our secondary is terrible. Bengals-Chiefs have the over, 46.5. I don't love it without T. Higgins, though, I'm going to tell you that. I kind of expected him to go this week. Vibes are really weird. He's saying he's being accused of faking it.
He's confused why people are thinking he's faking it.
I don't know if you read his comments in there. He said he'll come back only when it's fully healed. So that made me feel like this dude really is not coming back for a while. It's a hammy. Like, that's tricky. So then you got Jamar. I mean, I know Jamar had some weird comments too, though. What did Jamar say?
Basically, that they're the team to beat still. Everybody knows that, bro. It's not if. We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to play like it, too. Now that we got to play like it, too, I'm with.
Yeah.
But bragging or any kind of, our man Joe Burrow's 3-1 against Patrick Mahomes. Doing that before this game, coming off of a loss to the Patriots, I just think it's for a guy who hasn't even been camped the whole time and was playing limited snaps the last game.
Yep.
And your DB was just talking about Xavier Worthy, I just save it. Kansas City's got enough
bulletin
board material as it is, and y'all just don't look like a real stable thing right now.
Although, I agree.
You know, we do have confidence that at some point you will get to that.
Yep.
It just ain't the right time to be running your mouth right now. KC looks too good.
I think Bengals is the square side of the week because people will say that Burrow always plays Mahomes tight and close, but I don't know, dude. I watch this Bengals team and something isn't right. The defense is bad. They're talking. I mean, none of it's good. None of it's good. Now, maybe this is just one of those weird things where, you have an out-of-body experience, you meet the level of competition, it's like this is where it would happen. But
I mean, I guess Joe Burrow has won three of the four games against KC. That's where all that confidence, obviously, Jamar's got stems from.
But I just can't. I can't bet it.
Don't poke the bear.
I know. I watched when the Raiders did that, when they drove the buses around the stadium, and then I believe the next game score was 48-10. So I know what that looks like and how that feels. I've got two more here. I've got the Steelers -2.5 on the road with Jay Fields. It is going to be Fields, right? I believe they've made that choice. So Russell Wilson's time in Pittsburgh as a starter never got off the ground because of the injury, unless Fields just absolutely sucks. But I'm hoping that he does not. I'm hoping that
is that not an injury? Did they not just go ahead and say, well, he's not close enough yet? Here's
right.
it to Fields as opposed to a
yes.
wanted or
no? Yeah,
okay, okay.
Russell won the competition. Then he had the calf
and
week.
He's still not ready to go.
Yeah, or they're saying that, and it's just a matter of Fields won the first game. How can we go back to Russ? You know, like, I don't
but
know.
But he didn't score a touchdown.
If you score a touchdown this week, Fields, you can keep the job.
No, I mean, I always thought he was the one to pick because there's the ceiling is limited with Russ.
But if they start 2-0, would you agree if you can't go to Russ after that?
Well, I think you're better off. You got your locker room and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of
I wouldn't rule it out, though, bro. Justin Fields not about to turn into a franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
even if he gets you
in, how he looks,
there's a possibility that he's still not the guy. Even if you make the playoffs this year, they made the playoffs last year with Pickett.
That game could be 10-6.
That could be about defense and everything else.
Yeah.
Show me you can get to the end zone. I need to see more growth from him before I'm giving him a long term deal.
I would agree with that. And then finally, Sunday Night Football. We are going with I want to make this abundantly clear. This bet was placed before the Pac-12 segment in the rundown. Okay? This was placed 2 days ago. Texans -6. It's just C.J. Stroud, bro. It's C.J. Stroud. against a rookie quarterback who is promising but is not just quite ready yet to keep up. Now, maybe Caleb will do it. Maybe this is one of those all-time remember-where-you-were games from Caleb. But Houston went on the road as a two-and-a-half-point favorite yep. against Indy and survived the greatness of AR-5. And now they return home against a rookie who had 93 passing yards last week.
Yeah, not very impressive whatsoever.
Give me the six. Give me the six with D'Amico and the Texans.
You be careful.
Make a case for the Bears. What's the case for covering the 6.5?
The Texans' defense not nearly as impressive as you make it out to be.
No, the Texans got burned quite a bit. That was very scary. But is Keenan Allen and Rome playing? They're out.
It's an issue. Rome and Keenan are banged up.
Yes, sir!
But we still got tight ends, and we still have DJ Moore.
Yes.
What happened to Rome?
He's hurt, man. Yeah. He's hurt. He couldn't run one more route for Caleb in that game.
No, it's actually on a crazy play where I think the ball got knocked in the air. He went up to try to go grab it and got drilled. And I think that's where he might have got the knee hurt. He had to have an MRI Monday. He's not done.
I saw he didn't practice.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
He's out. Both. Maybe Keenan goes. I don't know. But it feels like Rome's
done. I thought Keenan still had a chance.
Yeah. I think Rome is out. We're operating on as if Rome's out.
He couldn't find Keenan. They have not developed any sort of chemistry or rapport whatsoever yet, him and Keenan.
Yeah.
You need that, bro, because Keenan can feel you out. Mm-hmm. Keenan can find those open spots. Exactly. Caleb's got to figure him out.
Exactly. So that's what I'm on this week. I might add more. Like I said, Cowboys -6 would be the one that I'm thinking about. Jets, Titans, my friends at RAS did release Jets. I could not get there with them, and it did get hit, by the way. 3.5 to 4, now it's back to 3.5, and that makes sense to me. I just don't feel like the Titans at home off a loss like that is a team I want to necessarily be fading and having to lay 3.5, especially with how that Jets defense looked. Like, Tony Pollard's explosive enough, like, They'll get in position to score against these Jets, especially without Reddy. You know, so I just don't love it. I don't love that play very much this week. But that's the NFL slate. Should be fun. Obviously, we had the game last night we thought would be good. It turned out not to be for a variety of reasons. So I'm expecting the rest of the slate to be elite.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.